I just want to thank all of you for coming in and sitting with us on this great show. I know you guys missed us last week, but we are on this week, and hopefully you checked out our archives. But this week, actually, our upcoming, the second year anniversary is coming up in a few days. So I just want to say happy anniversary to Food for Medicine. And we've kind of been touching on, I know this is exciting, sis. I'm just, like, so happy. It's been like a time flu.
I know, it is.
And
I'm like, what?
Yes. 2 years already, and I do appreciate all of the information that is given. I'm especially sis, you get it in. Like, you just, like, the zone. It's like you in your zone. You just give all this wonderful information. And for those of you who are listening, this is Phoebe Ajiro. And like I stated earlier, I'm Kenya Jones, and I am an herbalist and nutritionalist, and my sister, Afidi. Can you tell those who are listening who you are?
Yes. So welcome everyone who's been with Dynasty Family, and those of you who are new to the Dynasty Family, welcome. My name is Dr. Afidi Ajiro, and I'm a naturopathic physician, primary care. I have a passion for, well, first about naturopathic medicine. I use holistic modalities to bring the body back into balance, such as acupuncture, hydrotherapy, herbs, and of course, like me and my sister bring information to you every week about using food, nutrition and diet are a huge passion of mine because I feel that 90% of our health is based on what we put into our bodies as food. And if your diet's jacked up, pretty much any therapy you do on top of that is not going to be as effective. So, again, this is why we bring you this information on the show every week. So I hope everybody's ready.
Right. I hope you're ready for this show. And if you have not been listening and you want to check out our archives, we do have a host of shows, 2 years' worth on different ways to heal your body from different ailments. This week we're going to be talking about food for pregnancy. Now, the last show, we spoke on food for fertility. For those of you who are looking to get pregnant or impregnate someone, if you missed that show, you want to go back and listen in. And now this topic is actually after the conception, how to be healthy while being pregnant. So I'm ready for the information as well, but I do want to give you the premise of the show. The premise of Food for Medicine is to enlighten African people on how to heal the body. To enlighten African people on how to use food, not just as an alternative to medicine, but to also use it as it was intended by our ancestors. This show is designed to teach you how to eat to live instead of living to eat, I say. Now, sis, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to you. I know you're going to knock it out the ballpark. I hope everyone out there who is listening have their pens and pads ready so they can take down notes and pass this information for those who are listening. If you know someone who is pregnant or who is looking to get pregnant, this is an awesome show for them to hear, so you might want to pass the word on. So I'm going to go ahead and let you start this.
All right. So thank you, my sister. And just another reminder for those of you who may be new to our the Dynasty Family, this is a live call-in show. So if you would like to ask a question or if you have a comment or concern to make during the discussion, because it is a discussion, I do most of the talking, but, you know, I always welcome people coming on and giving their feedback and contributing. Because this is what it is. It's a community show, and we want the community's input all the time. So the number to call in to the show is 646-716-7572, and then you'll be prompted to press the number 1 if you would like to be on the air and give a comment or ask a question. If not, do not have to press anything. Just call in, sit back, relax, and enjoy the information, okay? So, like my sister said, today's topic is food for a healthy or it's food for pregnancy, but it's food for a healthy pregnancy, that you can have the most, you know, get the most out of your body as far as it is going towards creating this new life that you're bringing into the world. And I think this is very important. I always tell people or tell you on the show why I've been inspired to do certain topics. And the reason that I've done this topic today is because, you know, and it wasn't because anybody asked me any questions, you know, between last week and today, but it's just that it was something I was thinking about. And I was like, you know what, I talked about fertility last week, and then I was kind of prompted to continue, like, well, after pregnancy, we also need information to do on what to do nutritionally to make sure that we're continuing to support ourselves in growing this new life, this new African person. So that, with that being said, today we're going to talk about ways of sustaining that and supporting the body. And I always like to say, you know, even though most of this is going to be dealing with the women giving themselves these types of foods while they're pregnant, but the brothers have to make sure that their bodies are good too, because I've seen a few times the woman maybe not being so great with her diet, gaining the unnecessary weight, having all these symptoms like nausea and gas and bloating and swelling and all these things, and the brother actually gets some of the symptoms too. I think it's just kind of a, I think it's kind of a just the brothers may take on some of the symptoms because of being so close of a proximity. Probably the eating habits change together as, you know, the couple is transitioning through the pregnancy. So brothers also need to make sure that their diets are as healthful as possible, because you have to be that co-partner for your queen while she is developing your seed. So you can't be all run down and gas and bloated and all this stuff. You have to be strong for her, too, while she's being strong for the creation of this new life. So everybody needs to be on the same plan with being having a healthy diet. So even though the sisters, this is more geared towards the sisters having a good, healthy diet, but the brothers can eat the same exact things that the women are eating, too. So, yes. So let's get right into it. So the first thing I have on my list is that you are what you eat. And this is something to remember throughout the pregnancy. You are what you eat. So being more mindful of the quality of the foods you eat during this time is crucial. So when I say quality, I'm talking about making sure food is organic, local, seasonal, you know, all of these things. I mean, of course, depending on your area, what you have availability for, these will change. You may not be able to get seasonal fruit all the time, or you may not be able to get organic fruit and vegetables all the time, maybe not even local. You might have things, you might live in a place where a lot of your food is imported from other states that are outside of your area. So doing the best that you can is always, you know, key. But being mindful is very important during this time because, like I said, you're created in life. So the things that you consumed not only during the pregnancy, but even the things that you consumed during conception, you know, all of those things are going to directly go into making that child. So to the degree that you are eating things that are life promoting or life or conducive to life, to the degree that you're eating things that aren't conducive to life, things that are inflammatory and degenerative to the system, you know, to the degree that you're consuming one or the other is to the degree that your child will be receiving that kind of beneficial support while it's developing. So always keep that in mind. You are what you eat, and your baby is going to be what you eat as well. Now, organic foods, let's talk about that. Do your best to avoid food that has potentially been raised on growth hormones, foods that have potentially been raised, being sprayed with pesticides, herbicides, chemical fertilizers being used in the soil, things of that nature. And then, of course, there are other horrible things that can be done to plants that are not organic. And the reason for this is because many of these chemicals that I mentioned can pass straight through the mother-child blood, through the placenta, through the umbilical cord, all of these passages that directly go to the baby. And you don't want that. And there have been, and this is just the umbilical cord, there have been samples taken out of the umbilical cord of newborn babies, babies that are minutes old. And we've actually looked at these samples at my school when I was in school. We looked at the statistics of these, and they are finding, like, concentrations in the hundreds of times in umbilical cord blood of babies of pesticides, herbicides, chemical fertilizers, things that, you know, there's no way the baby was eating this thing unless the baby was picking fruit while it was in the womb. No, of course not. It's because the mothers are eating these foods that are laced in those chemicals, and they're finding high, high, high concentrations in all umbilical cords of newborns. So, you know, and then we wonder why a lot of times we have complications, why the babies, you know, have different things that happen to them, that, you know, you thought you were eating good, you thought you were doing this and that, and things happen. And, of course, life happens, things can happen. You know, you do your best to avoid those kind of circumstances. But being conscious of the fact that if I make sure that my food doesn't have certain ingredients in it or certain chemicals on it, this can up the chance that I will have a healthy baby without any complications. So you just want to be conscious of that. But another thing with these chemicals they use in non-organic food production is they can also lead to irritation of the fetus. So, you know, the same way that a pesticide would irritate us if it got on our skin, just think of it, you know, affecting a fetus that's growing in the womb. And it can also, of course, affect fetal development, and we don't want any problems with that. Also steer clear of refined packaged foods, or refined foods and packaged foods. So this includes our white flours, white sugars, white starches, boxed foods, pastries, frozen dinners, snack foods. I'll even say all those low-calorie and diet foods. And I know it may sound crazy that I have to say that, but I have actually met when I was in school, actually. Fortunately, I haven't met anyone that's doing it now, but when I was in school, that I've seen pregnant women eating diet food, and, you know, like low-calorie, low-fat, low-sugar, or whatever diet foods, Diet Coke. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why are you eating diet food? You're not fat, you know? You're pregnant. So, and they're like, well, I'm doing this so I don't gain weight. I'm like, no. You don't need to worry about that. If you eat the foods you need to eat, you're not going to gain unnecessary weight. You're going to gain exactly what you need to gain to support the baby. And then you're going to lose it just as quickly, you know, or quicker than you put it on once the baby is birthed. Anyway, all those low-calorie, low-fat diet-promoting food, like those foods that they promote as diet foods, you want to stay away from those too, because 100% of the time they are highly processed. They're filled with chemicals in order to enhance their flavor because they've taken out, you know, like healthy fats. They've taken out minerals and all these things. So because of that, the food is going to not taste good because it's so devoid of nutrients. So in order to make it taste better, they have to put chemicals in it like the artificial sweeteners, and they have to put in like high fructose corn syrup and all these refined products in order to make it taste better. So no diet food for you. You are not fat. You do not need to be on diet right now. You need to be eating and consuming more things that are going to support life. Now, again, these processed foods contain an abundance of chemicals that can affect not only the mother's health, but the baby. When you eat foods that are devoid of nutrients, like the foods that I mentioned this on other shows, eating foods that don't have or have been stripped of nutrients, like white flour, white sugar, they actually leach minerals and vitamins out of the tissues of your body. And in this case, they're also going to take minerals and vitamins away from the growing fetus in order for the body to compensate for this lack of nutrient, this substance, I can't even call it a food, that is now been introduced in it that does not have the right concentrations of nutrients. So it has to balance that out by giving of itself its own nutrients in order for digestion and assimilation of whatever nutrients is there to occur. Now, this is one of the reasons why a woman who is eating a diet mostly consisting of these foods can eat three meals a day, you know, think she's eating good, feel, you know, part satiated, you know, but she will notice that her hair is dull. She'll notice her hair may be falling out. Her skin may be dull. She may lose teeth. You know, her energy will just kind of be crashing. You know, she'll have a lot of fatigue. She'll just be tired. And many other symptoms, even the morning sickness and some of the other hormonal imbalances that can happen, can occur even though the woman is eating and, you know, she thinks she's eating, but it's because of the quality of the food. And, of course, eating that way, eating a diet that consists mostly of those refined packaged foods, will contribute to the development of other health conditions that can complicate pregnancy, like high blood pressure, which can lead to preeclampsia. And if you get preeclampsia or eclampsia, you'll be bedridden for the latter part of your pregnancy or the majority of it, and you do not want that. That is one of the most horrible things to have to be bedridden during your pregnancy, and it just takes away from the wonderful experience that pregnancy can be, and you don't want that. Eating this way, eating these refined processed foods can also lead to gestational diabetes and unnecessary weight gain. Not saying that you shouldn't gain weight while you're pregnant, but you should not gain too much weight, because being both over and underweight is not good. You're not supposed to be all fattened up when you're pregnant. You're supposed to just gain enough weight to support the new life, and that's it. And really, you really don't need more than, like, maybe an extra 100 calories, maybe 200 calories more. So you'll gain weight just from the increase of 100 calories, but for the most part, you don't need that. The baby's, like, a few ounces in size. You're not supposed to be eating a whole another person's diet, you know, to support the baby. And, of course, listen to your body. But anyway, I kind of got off. But I'm talking about health conditions that can arise that can complicate pregnancy due to an unbeneficial diet. And with the gestational diabetes, the increase in insulin resistance in any case can also lead to a phenomenon called macrosomia. Macrosomia is when the baby has excessive birth weight. So you've seen these huge babies being born that are 8, 9, and 10, 11, 12 pounds. You know, those babies, for the most part, the mother more than likely had some kind of insulin resistance. And from other shows, if you go to other shows where I talk about sugar balance and things, I talk more about insulin. Insulin, long story short, is a storage hormone. When we have increased insulin in our system, it causes us to store energy, because we're not using the energy, we're not burning the sugars and things that we're eating for energy. We're just kind of sitting and not, or any energy that we do burn, if there is an excess, the body is going to have to store it as fat. It can't keep it in the blood, because that's going to be toxic. And when you do have too much sugar in the blood, that's called diabetes. But for those people who are insulin resistant, you're going to pack on fat, because sugar that is not used is packed on as fat. And in a pregnant woman, not only will she gain unwanted weight, but the baby will gain unnecessary weight as well because of this insulin resistance. So both of you have insulin resistance, not just the mother. And then you have these large babies that make it very difficult for a vaginal labor to occur, especially if the woman is maybe smaller, or if her pelvis is smaller, it's going to be very difficult to birth the child. And it just creates all these unnecessary complications. A lot of women end up having to have C-sections. So basically, you are what you eat, once again, you know. So just be conscious of that. So on the flip side, what should you opt for? Opt for fresh homemade food. You know, this is always the best way to go. This way you can control everything that's in it and make it as nutrition-packed as possible. You can put everything. You can put all the superfoods. You can put all of the moringa. You can put all of the, you know, whatever spices and load up on salad greens and all that. You can do everything you want with your own home cooking. So all of this will lead you to incorporating as many of those health-promoting foods, those many pregnancy-supporting foods into your diet as you possibly can. And, of course, what should this kind of diet include, this homemade food that you're making? Plenty of fresh fruit, plenty of fresh vegetables, nuts, seeds, legumes. And we're going to talk about each of these groups as we move on. So the first thing, in that healthful homemade diet that we're eating, the first thing on the list is greens, making sure that you're eating your greens. Green leafy vegetables are, you know, of course, one of my favorites. I always have this at the top of my list for most of the things that I talk about on this show. But it's because of this, you know. Green veggies, including dark leafy greens and other green vegetables, doesn't have to be a leafy green. They're all rich in minerals like calcium, magnesium, potassium, iron, and they're also a great source of vitamins such as vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin K, B vitamins, abundant in green vegetables. So they are full of protective antioxidants as well, such as beta-carotenoids, which are the flavonoids that make the red and the orange hues and the yellow hues to vegetables and fruits like carrots and bell pepper, and you name berries. Also, flavonoids and phytochemicals are also in fruits and vegetables. And remember, all of those, they protect the mother and the fetus from cellular damage, you know, from toxins and free radicals that should try to damage the tissues in the mother, damage tissues in the developing baby. So eating these foods is natural protection for those things. And believe it or not, but dark leafy greens actually contain small amounts of omega-3 fatty acids. Yes, they do. They don't seem like they're oily or anything. They do have essential oils in them. Now, our omega-3s, I have a whole show on fats. If you go back into the archives, I have a whole show on healthy fats and the different kinds of fats and why we need certain fats. And I'm going to talk about them briefly now. Omega-3s are those fats that are extremely beneficial to the body because they are anti-inflammatory, for one, so they'll keep things down like swelling and allergies and keeping the joints lubricated, keeping the mother, but keeping the body free of any toxins. And then they will also help to regulate blood sugar. They help regulate cholesterol. They actually help you to make the healthy cholesterol instead of the bad cholesterol that you make when you eat fats that aren't so healthy. They also omega-3s also help with regulating blood pressure. So this is going to protect you from preeclampsia and any other high blood pressure complications. And remember that the fats that we take in support the synthesis of hormones, and hormones are necessary for pregnancy to carry the term. So if you're somebody that have been having difficulty carrying pregnancy to term, increasing your essential fatty acids, such as in the form of these omega-3s, it can be a very beneficial thing. And for those women, even if you haven't had problems with carrying a pregnancy to term, just continuing to make sure your diet is abundant with these types of fats will just continue to help make sure the pregnancy goes along as smoothly as possible. And then it's just beneficial to the baby and the hormones and things like that. Also, remember that fats are needed for the maintenance and fats are needed for the maintenance of the maternal nervous system. So your nervous system requires fat because the sheaths around nerves, which is like a cable, that the outside of the cable is covering many wires, that is the same way that your nerves are made up. And then fats, actually, the body uses the fats that we eat as the way to create that sheath that is around nerve cells that allow electrical conduction and electrical communication to occur throughout the body. So, and then the brain, of course, gets first dibs on all the fat we eat because it's predominantly fat. It's a very fatty organ. So in order for the brain function to be optimal, you have to make sure your diet consists of fats. Now, how do you think this is going to affect a developing baby if its entire nervous system is being created during this pregnancy? So, of course, you need to make sure your diet is abundant in these fatty acids, these omega-3 fatty acids, these healthful fats, because you are creating somebody's nervous system. So make sure that you have all of those healthful fats in the diet in order to do this in the most efficient way so that your baby will have the best possible building blocks to make its nervous system. DHA is a type of omega-3 fatty acid that is used for brain development in the fetus. So the mother should make sure that she gets this through those healthy fat sources into her diet. So I kind of started talking about fats a little bit, but I'm still talking about greens because the greens have the essential fatty acids in there. So as far as the greens are concerned, try to consume at least 2 to 3 large salads, which is large, in my opinion, is 6 cups or more per salad. And, yes, I can eat that much myself. So I'm not just telling you to do something that I wouldn't do myself. I'm not even pregnant, but I can eat this much now of a salad, and I do so most days. So 6 cups or more per salad is a large salad, and you need to eat 2 to 3 of those large salads with meals or alone daily. Or you can consume 6 to 10 cups of cooked greens 2 to 3 times with meals daily. Now, when eating your greens, because they contain many of our fat-soluble vitamins, like the beta carotenes, vitamin E, vitamin K, it's beneficial to also eat the greens with fat or oils. So make a salad dressing that has an oil base. Make it with like a helpful oil like flaxseed, hemp seed, olive oil. When cooking, use coconut oil, palm oil, or sesame oil because these will retain their stability while being heated and they will not turn into trans fats. Now, let's talk about fats right now because I've kind of segued into talking about fats. So healthy fats are essential to the diet. You know, we use fats, like I mentioned, to make hormones, enzymes, nervous system support, maintenance of the nervous system. We also use fats to produce vitamin D in our skin. If we don't have enough fatty acids or helpful fatty acids in our bodies, our skin, where the vitamin D is created from the contact it has with the sunlight, won't be as efficient. So that's another reason why we need helpful fats. Cell synthesis is also important. It has an important relationship to the amount of fat, healthy fats that we have in our diet, because the fats help us to make up the cells that make up the tissues of organs, that make up the cells of hair, skin, nails. That's why, you know, everybody wants to take these, like, hair, skin, and nail supplements and things and want to know about products and things to make your hair lustrous and shiny and beautiful. Well, really, just overall good nutrition from the diet, eating these foods that we're talking about, but also, you know, for healthy hair, skin, and nails, you also need you need adequate amounts of essential fatty acids. So that will make your hair and skin and nails lustrous and glowing. Fats in our diet also go into creating the tissues of the collagen that is under the skin. So that makes it plump and it makes it resilient and elastic. So, you know, fats are very important when it comes to maintaining that. And not only is it making your skin, you know, glow, and this is why pregnant women usually look healthier when they're pregnant because they're eating and they're more conscious of these things and they're eating all of these things like the essential fatty foods while they're pregnant, but they didn't eat them when they weren't pregnant. But think of it this way, too. When you're consuming these foods and it's making your skin beautiful, your hair and your nails beautiful, it's doing the same thing to your baby. So when your baby comes out, it's going to be just glowing and beautiful, and all of its nails are going to be nice, and all of its hair, and everything's going to be beautiful in that baby because you've been eating all of the fats that it needs. And it's going to be a nice little fat baby, but not too fat. It's going to be just normal baby fat. So let's talk about the kinds of fats really quick. So there are a few different types of fats. So let's talk about the MUFAs and the PUFAs first. So the MUFAs are the monounsaturated fatty acids, and those are found in olive oil, peanut oils, avocados, nuts, seeds. Basically, they're a plant oil. And these oils should not be cooked because it will render them as trans fats, and they're best served raw, such in any uncooked dish, salads, smoothies, whatever you like. Now, polyunsaturated fats, or the PUFAs, this group of oils, it contains those omega-3 fats that we want, including the DHA, including also another fatty acid called ALA, alpha-lipoic acid, which is also needed for the development of the fetal nervous system and just fetal development in general. So you can find polyunsaturated fatty acids in flax seeds, chia seeds, and, of course, their oils, if you get the oils, walnuts, Brazil nuts, hemp seeds, and pretty much all nuts and seeds, along with these PUFAs, the polyunsaturated fatty acids. Most of these food sources of them also contain vitamin E, which is also an abundant antioxidant and a important antioxidant vitamin. And it's needed for tissue development, it's needed for wound healing, it's needed for vasculature development of the cardiovascular system, and it's needed for healthy nails, skin, and hair to develop. Now, let's talk about the saturated fats really quick. So these would include things like our coconut oils, our palm oils. Animal fats, of course, are saturated, and dairy fats. And any fats that are in processed foods, for the most part, are probably saturated. Now, a lot of the saturated fat in the standard American diet are unbeneficial to the body, especially from conventional animal meats and dairy and things like that. But those that come from plants, such as palm oil, coconut oil, they can be very beneficial, but they should be used in moderation, of course, especially like the palm oil. For example, when I say use in moderation, just use it in certain circumstances like cooking. Like palm oil and coconut oil can be used for cooking because they're stable when they're heated. They're not going to break down into trans fats. But you wouldn't necessarily want to put palm oil in every single dish that you eat. Or if you are going to put it in a lot of your food, you don't want to use a bunch of it. Just because it is saturated fat and it can add a lot of extra calories that you don't need, you know, especially if you're trying to maintain a healthy pregnancy weight. You shouldn't be watching your weight at all, but you only need so many calories extra from your normal diet before you were pregnant in order to gain the weight that you need for pregnancy. And then, of course, if you already are having problems with cardiovascular system, with preeclampsia, with high blood pressure, currently you really probably shouldn't even use palm oil because palm oil is very saturated. Just use coconut oil. Coconut oil is great. It has a special fatty acid in it called a medium-chain triglyceride, and the body metabolizes medium-chain triglycerides very quickly. And because of that, it makes a quick fuel source for the body. So those sisters who are out there who are having problems with their energy while they are carrying, they can eat coconut oil, and this will be very, very beneficial to helping with the energy. It can help with the thyroid if you have, like, a thyroid condition while you're pregnant. It feeds all of those aspects of the body having a good energy source. So another thing that coconut oil does is that it protects the body from parasites, from yeast infections. It, you know, and then you don't want any of those things happening while you are pregnant. So this isn't to say that you should be, like, using coconut oil to stop a yeast overgrowth or something while you're pregnant, because you don't want to detox while you're pregnant. You're eating this coconut oil to protect the body from getting this thing. So, I mean, not saying that you can't eat coconut oil if you don't know if you have a yeast overgrowth or something like that, or a parasite infection, but this is just supposed to help both the mother and the child from it causing any harm, from such an ailment causing any harm during the development of the baby. Let's see, coconut oil also protects from free radicals, just like any other antioxidant-rich fruit or vegetable. It protects from fungus, of course. And it's also good for the creation of tissue cells, especially those of the skin and the hair. So it's also beneficial that way. Palm oil, while it should be used more sparingly, it is a great source of beta carotene. So, again, that deep red color that palm oil has is because of all the phytonutrients that it has in it. So, you know, if you have something that you want to saute, fry up or something, then palm oil would be a better choice than some other, like, Crisco or margarine and things like that. Now I want to talk about the hydrogenated oils really quick. Hydrogenated oils or partially hydrogenated oils, you want to avoid these like the plague while you're pregnant or even when you're not pregnant. Everybody should avoid these because these are the trans fats that we find in processed or packaged foods like snack cakes, chips, crackers, fast foods, fat-free foods, and all those diet foods that I mentioned, sugar-free foods, and commercial peanut butter, the big source of trans fats. If you eat Jiffy or Peter Pan, all that stuff, yeah, you don't want that. Also, foods that have been cooked in an improper oil, such as like if you've been cooking your food in olive oil and things like that, avocado oil, hemp seed oil, those oils have been basically burnt up and they're trans fats now. Then, of course, margarines, dressings, and condiments, all of these, and then, of course, many more, are all partially hydrogenated or hydrogenated oil. hinder nutrient absorption. They create unhealthy cholesterol. They hinder the making of cells with structural integrity. So all of these things, you know, can interfere with the development of the fetus because you don't want anything stopping nutrients. You don't want anything stopping cells from making proper structures as far as the development of the baby's body is concerned. So trans fats just can wreak complete havoc on the mother's body and in the development of the baby. And how do you figure out if your food has this trans fat, these polyunsaturated, are these poly, I'm not poly, I'm sorry, you guys, these partially hydrogenated or fully hydrogenated oils, just turn to the back and look at the ingredient label. If it says partially hydrogenated, fully hydrogenated, you know, if it has those kind of, if it has margarine or any of these other things in the ingredients, then you know that it has these trans fats and you should not consume it. So make it a point to include all of these beneficial fats into your diet in any way you can, making dressings, making marinades, cooking with the right types of oils. Do all that you can to make sure that your diet is abundant in these. Now, let's move on to the minerals. I'm going to talk about minerals now. So getting calcium is very important. Calcium is very important for the maintenance of the mother's bones and for the creation of the baby's bones. Oh, and before I get into another topic really quick, just reminding everyone, you can call in if you have any questions about anything I've said so far. You can call the number 646-716-7572. Press number 1 if you have a question to raise your hand. If not, just keep listening. So if nobody has any questions, I'm going to continue. And if you do have a question, just don't feel, I mean, feel free to call in and ask me. All right. So getting calcium. So, again, calcium is important for the mother's bones to be maintained and for the baby's bones that are being created. Foods rich in calcium include green leafy vegetables, especially things like kale, collards, amaranth. Very, very high calcium food. Dr. Sabi talks about amaranth all the time and how abundant in nutrients it is. It's basically a really good alternative to spinach, where spinach can actually be a little acidic for the body, believe it or not. Of course, it's better than eating, you know, a candy bar or, you know, going out and eating fast food. But, you know, if you are, you know, somebody who is into either Dr. Sabi or into, like, acid alkaline foods and keeping the body alkaline, then spinach eaten in abundance can actually create a little bit more acid. But amaranth is an ancient African green. It's something that our ancestors ate, and it's something that complements our bodies very well, and it's packed with nutrients. So amaranth in the salads, in the smoothies, used, you know, in foods is wonderful. You can also get a lot of calcium in almonds, sesame seeds, and different legumes. So make sure that you're getting those calcium-rich foods into the diet to support you and your baby. Now, can't talk about calcium without talking about magnesium. You need magnesium for calcium absorption, and magnesium is needed by hundreds of biological functions in the body in order for them to be carried out efficiently. Magnesium is actually the single nutrient that most people in this country are deficient in. Yes, it's magnesium. Most people are deficient. Unless you've been consciously upping your magnesium foods, your magnesium-rich foods, and making sure your magnesium is in abundance in your diet, most of us are deficient in it. And a lot of this has to do with the way that the food is grown in this country, the farming practices, has to do with environmental toxins, it has to do with stress, all these different things. It has to do with our food choices, the kind of foods that we grew up eating, the foods that we're eating now. So a lot of it has to do with that. So magnesium deficiency can lead to high blood pressure, it can lead to preeclampsia, and it can lead to poor fetal growth and development. So make sure you're getting magnesium-rich foods in your diet, which include but are not limited to raw cacao, which is cacao is the chocolate fruit, the fruit of the chocolate, but without all the additives like the sugar and the milk and all that stuff. The actual fruit, which is the cacao bean, is high, high, high in magnesium. So you can get raw cacao powder and make your own, like, pudding. You can put it in your smoothies to make chocolate smoothies. You know, basically make your own chocolate dishes, but using this nutrient-rich superfood, which is the raw cacao. You can also eat ancient grains, alkaline grains, like amaranth, wild rice, kamut, spelt. Also teff, which is what traditionally Ethiopians make their injera out of, but it's fermented. So all of those grains will also give you a good dose of magnesium as well. Also Brazil nuts and sesame seeds, or you can use tahini, which is the sesame seed butter. They're all rich in magnesium. And usually these foods are not just containing one nutrient. I want people to be reminded of that as we go along. These foods that I say are good for magnesium, they're good for calcium, you know, and so on and so forth, they don't just contain this nutrient. They contain an abundance of nutrients, a variety of nutrients. So if you eat, say, amaranth, because I said it's good for calcium, guess what? I bet you're going to get magnesium too, because nature knows what nutrients you need together. Nature knows what things need to be consumed together in order for the best absorption to take place, for the best assimilation to take place. So just know that if you are eating whole foods, even though I'm breaking it down like this, if you're eating whole plant foods, and you're not going out to places to get fast food and buying prepackaged food, you're going to get what you need. But, of course, it's always good to be more conscious and know what you're eating based on the nutritional value. But I just want people to be reminded of that. So this is why the magnesium-rich foods, such as amaranth, can also contain calcium. But guess what? Wild rice, kamut, spelt, you know, they all contain calcium and B vitamins and all these other things as well, too. Another great source of magnesium, Brazil nuts, sesame seeds, tahini, they also contain calcium and other minerals as well. So just be conscious of that when you're doing the food as well. Folic acid. I have to talk about folic acid when we're talking about pregnancy. Now, folic acid promotes the development of fetal nervous system, and it can prevent neural tube defects such as spina bifida. That's why folic acid is so important, why people are so adamant about pushing pregnant women, or I should say not pregnant women, but women of childbearing age before they get pregnant, to make sure their diet is full of folic acid. So folic acid can be found in all vegetables. You know, all vegetables have folic acid. All fruits have folic acid. So as long as you're eating vegetables and fruits, you're going to get folic acid. So, you know, greens, okra, legumes, you know, chickpeas, sprouts, all of them are going to have it. It can be also found in fruits like oranges. Oranges are actually very high in folic acid. Papaya, watermelon is very high, and other melons are high in folic acid. So, you know, pretty much any plant-based foods that you want to eat, they're going to have folic acid. Now, like I said, in order for folic acid to be effective against neural tube defects and other complications of a deficiency of folic acid in the baby, it is imperative that women of childbearing age already have adequate amounts of it in the body before conception. So this is kind of a preconceptive nutrient, but it's also something that needs to be consumed during pregnancy. But for sure, definitely get folic acid rich foods, or if you want to, you know, add folic acid to your diet through a supplement, the time to do it is before you get pregnant, as far out from being pregnant as you can. It would even be better for parents of young girls to make sure their diets are healthful, full of vegetables and fruits. Now they get older, they won't have to play catch up with this nutrient, you see. And then when they get older, of course, you can say, okay, or are they getting married, or, you know, whatever. Like, okay, now this is the time that you really need to give your folic acid intake a boost, because you're going to be getting pregnant soon, you know, that kind of thing. So, and like I said, for supplementation, if a mother wants to get additional folic acid, find a plant-based food-grade type of folic acid product. This is beneficial because in this country, even though you can get folic acid through the foods that we eat, of course, you know, depending on the farming practices, the deficiency of the soil used to grow these different foods, it may be, you know, not as much as we need. So there is one thing that I would tell you to supplement more than others, then folic acid would be the one. Like I said, just make sure you're getting a food-grade, plant-based source of a folic acid supplement, because anything man-made is going to be not as superior as it occurring in nature. But because the nature, quote-unquote, the environment that we're in, it has so depleted the land the sources of our food is so depleted in this country, and a lot of times we may not know, you know, if it's depleted or not. We want to make sure that we're giving our children, our growing children in our wombs, the best possible chance. So supplementing folic acid, I would definitely recommend, because you want to make sure that you get in as much as you can. Let's see. The next thing that I want to talk about is iron. So iron, the pregnant body just demands iron, you know, for the continued making of oxygen-rich blood, which the mother needs and which the fetus receives from the mother. So iron can be found in whole grains. It can be found in vegetables, especially amaranth, dark leafy greens, burdock, yams, sweet potatoes, beets, sea vegetables, of course, and pumpkin seeds. These are all good sources of iron. To better assimilate your iron, consume vitamin C-rich foods along with those foods that are iron-rich, such as bell peppers. That's high in vitamin C. Lemon, lime juice, seasonings like paprika, thyme. Drink hibiscus tea. You know, make lemon or lime juice and, you know, consume that, you know, throughout the day. All of these things will put the vitamin C in your body so that when you're consuming the iron-rich food, it will help your body to take it up more readily. If you're needing an extra boost with the iron, let's say that you're prone to anemia, you know, say that you are requiring iron. Now, just find you a good food-grade prenatal vitamin that has iron in it for you to take. You don't really need to get a separate iron supplement unless your physician, whoever your midwife or your OB-GYN, whoever it is that is monitoring your pregnancy, unless they recommend that to you, then you shouldn't need an extra iron supplement. But if you get a plant-based food-grade prenatal vitamin with iron, then that should provide you the extra support that you need. And then, of course, a lot of times anemia can be corrected when the digestive system is supported through a healthful diet. So just keep those things in mind as well. Now let's talk about zinc. So zinc is needed for the embryo and fetal development, as it's required for the production of DNA. So zinc not only helps with the production of DNA, but it also helps with its repair and the proper function of DNA as genetic material. So zinc is very important. And zinc also supports the immune system of the mother, which is important to fend off any pathogens that could potentially arise during pregnancy. The immune health is also important after birth, because the baby, upon breastfeeding, once it comes here, it's going to breastfeed. Through breastfeeding, that baby will receive its first immunization, quote unquote, from the mother, because the breast milk. Through breast milk, the mother is going to transfer all of her, you know, pretty much a copy of her immune system, like her immunity to different diseases and all these other things that the baby's going to need once it's out and about. You know, people are kissing it, people are breathing on it, you know, it's getting exposed to the air outside of the home and things like that. So breastfeeding and the mother, or I'm trying to say, zinc is important for immunity for mother and baby during pregnancy, after birth. So just know and understand that when being conscious of these foods. The zinc-rich foods include, but are not limited to, pumpkin seeds, squash, melons, yams, sweet potatoes, and pretty much like seeds. Seeds and nuts have a lot of zinc in them. So include those foods into your diet, especially if you're prone to like a weakened immune system before you got pregnant and you don't want to have the same issues while you're pregnant, definitely get on that. And if you need a supplement, prenatal vitamins that are plant-based and that, you know, are food grade will be a very beneficial thing for you as well. B12, let's talk about that because that's another one of those controversial B vitamins like folic acid. So B12, it nourishes the nervous system of the mother and is needed for proper development of the fetal nervous system. Sources of B12, of course, are in our gut. I've talked about this. I did a show on B vitamins, and I talked about B12. You can go back to the archives and listen to that. So B12, the source for B12 in our bodies is from gut bacteria, period. The source of B12 for all animals is their gut bacteria. This is why cows, buffalo, all these large plant-eating animals can just eat a diet full of vegetation and not have any B12 deficiency. We do the same thing. We just think that we have to get B12 from animal proteins or animal protein. It gets its B12 from gut bacteria, because even if you consume a animal flesh, unless if your gut bacteria is not there, or if it is not creating the B vitamins, or if it's not, you know, synthesizing nutrients properly, you're not going to get any B vitamins at all, which is why when people take probiotics and start healing their gut, their energy improves and they feel better. And most of it is because they are now creating these B vitamins necessary for metabolism, necessary for other cellular functions, elimination, and all those things that are dealing with their energy to take place. Now, ways that we can supplement our B12 is by consuming fermented foods, which contributes to the gut flora that we have, you know, and then, of course, contributing to the B12 production and other B vitamin production in our gut. Fermented foods include things like Ethiopian injera, coconut water kefir, kenke, which is a fermented corn ball that they eat in Ghana and other parts of West Africa, kimchi, which is like a fermented cabbage. It's a fermented cabbage and other vegetable dish that's usually served in Asian populations. Cultured veggies of any kind. You can culture your own veggie, which is basically fermenting your own vegetables, and there are many recipes for that online, YouTube. Plant-based non-sweetened yogurts and cheeses. Yes, you can get plant-based yogurts, plant-based cheeses, almond cheese. They have coconut cheese. They have all cashew cheese, all kinds of stuff, and they're usually fermented or cultured so that they taste more cheesy. So you can find those, or you can make your own. Other sources of B12 include sea vegetables, of course, and then miso, which are fermented either. I like to buy non-soy miso. So they have a brown rice miso that you can purchase, and then they also have a chickpea miso that you can purchase. So there are soy misos because that's traditional. And then that's actually better than eating other soy products. But I would say if you're really trying, I mean, I stay away from soy just because it's so overprocessed and so prone to being GMO. I would just recommend people get the non-soy miso. Then you can use miso to season food. It's like kind of a brothy, ingredient. It makes things taste savory and it adds a little bit of salt. So look for those types of miso at like health food stores that specialize, that have like specialty items. Let's talk about amino acids and protein because everybody's worried about protein. And, yes, protein is important. The amino acids are what we're trying to get. So insufficient amounts of protein intake can actually affect blood sugar. It can cause cravings. It can make mineral deficiencies worse in the mother. And, of course, amino acids are needed to create the growing fetus because, remember, amino acids are the building blocks of protein. And protein are used to build muscle and all those other tissues and hormones and enzymes that we need. So getting them in the diet in adequate amounts during pregnancy is important. Sources of complete amino acids or rich proteinaceous foods include hemp seeds, quinoa, broccoli, sesame seeds, walnuts, Brazil nuts, and pretty much any nuts or seeds they'll all do as far as giving you the amino acids and the protein that you need. Also remember that each trimester that goes by, your needs for amino acids and protein are going to increase because the fetus is growing. So you're going to need more amino acids to build that baby up. So listen to your body and take in what you need, you know, what you both need at that time. So you don't have to go overboard with the nuts and the seeds. Just eat what you need. My rule of thumb has always been eat as many nuts and seeds as you can hold in both your hands cupped together. That's usually a serving for one person that you need for the whole day. You don't usually need any more than that. Now, if you're pregnant, that can be the serving, maybe another handful, maybe. Not everybody needs that, but that's if you're having like a craving or something, you want an extra handful of nuts, then you can go ahead. But just know that if you're not expending the energy, then that's just going to be extra calories that you don't need. But don't worry about it too much. Just make sure that you're not just eating nuts and seeds solely in your diet. I talked about seed vegetables really briefly, but I want to kind of get into that really quick, too. I know that we are going over time, but I only have a couple more things to mention. So seed vegetables and salt. I have to talk about this. We need salt for protein metabolism. We need salt for a healthy stress response, brain development, cellular regeneration, to name a few things. So salt isn't bad, but as we know, in excess, salt attracts moisture. So you can get swelling, you can get edema in the body, and it just creates all these adverse reactions. Now, there's a better way for your body to get the sodium or the salt that it needs without all of these problems that it can create if you eat it in excess. Especially if you're eating table salt, it's going to cause that problem in general. So seed vegetables, this is the solution, because seed vegetables contain organic amounts of their own mineral salts that are bound to other organic elements like carbon, and that combination of these different types of mineral salts makes it better assimilated in the body as far as what is needed, and then any excess is just eliminated. It's not actually taken up. And, of course, seed vegetables are just jam-packed with other nutritious vitamins and minerals, you know, in itself. Seed vegetables contain anywhere from 56 to 102 of the minerals and trace elements required for your body's physiological functions and other biological processes that it needs. So these minerals strengthen immunity and can even reverse high blood pressure and edema if the mother is experiencing them. And sources of sea vegetables include kelp, dulse, wakame, nori, bladder wrack, Irish moss, you know, and there are many other types. Just go to an Asian store and you'll see crazy different types of seaweed that you didn't even know existed. And it's all good. It's all good stuff. Just learn how to prepare it. And these can be added to food in many different ways. You know, you can have it as a seasoning, a sprinkle. You can use nori to make wraps. You can make salad out of wakame. I mean, there's so many different recipes with sea vegetables. You can put them in foods to make it taste kind of what people call fishy. If you want a seafood alternative that's plant-based, you can just add dulse or kelp granules to it, and it'll give it that fishy taste. I make a really, really good non-salmon or not salmon pate from almonds, and then I've made a not tuna pate out of carrots when I stopped eating carrots, but you can also make that out of almonds too, or chickpeas. So just find ways to be creative, you know, for whatever it is that you're trying to add to the diet. Ooh, caffeine. I have to talk about caffeine. Caffeine, and I know a lot of people are not going to want to hear this, but caffeine can cause a number of health concerns, including interference with iron absorption, which is vital during pregnancy. It can cause increased heart rate and blood pressure, which you don't want, because it can lead to preeclampsia. Caffeine can irritate the stomach. It can create headaches. You know, excess caffeine in pregnancy has been linked to low birth weight in babies, and it can interfere with the fetal development. So we don't have any of that. Caffeine is a drug, and it's found in coffee, of course. It's found in teas like black tea, sweet tea. It's found in soda, chocolate products that are, like, you know, highly refined. you know, and caffeine is just addictive. It's addictive, and it's like it's literally a legal drug in this country. During pregnancy, it would behoove you to kick the caffeine habit. Really, really, I should say, you should work on kicking the caffeine habit before conception to avoid the stressful detox symptoms that you can have from withdrawals affecting the baby. You don't want that to happen. Once you're pregnant, you don't want to be doing any cleansing because it's going to go to the baby, all those toxins and things. So you want to do all of that kicking of habits of addictive substances and things like coffee, you know, alcohol and things of that nature before you conceive. Not to mention that caffeine, alcohol, and things like that usually leach the body of B vitamins like folic acid, like B12, which can lead to fetal development abnormalities. So you don't want that. So look for alternatives to coffee and other caffeine sources, such as Ticino, which is a really good herbal coffee alternative that I've recommended to patients, and they liked it. Yerba mate is a another type of leaf that's used for making like a tea drink in the Amazon, and it has a little bit of caffeine in it, but not enough to where it creates the same kind of effect as coffee. But because of the other nutrients it has in it, it gives you a boost of energy. So people use it as a coffee alternative, especially if they're weaning themselves off of coffee. Goji berries actually contain a lot of nutrients in them, like B vitamins, that actually boost energy and giving you kind of that jump you need the way that coffee does. But, of course, it doesn't behave like coffee in the body. And then, of course, raw cacao. Raw cacao, again, has different minerals, nutrients, vitamins in it that help with energy. It has its own kind of it has its own constituents in it, like the PEA in it that makes it a little stimulating, but it doesn't stimulate you the way that coffee does. So just kind of, you know, try one or the other and see which helps you. Ticino is one that a few patients have told me that they really liked as far as a coffee alternative. Now let's talk about water. Can't end a show without talking about water. Last but certainly not least, water. Our bodies are 70 to 75% water, and our brains are 85% water. So if you don't drink enough water, some functions of the body will suffer from dehydration and produce system disturbances. And a well-hydrated body will ensure better digestion, assimilation of nutrients, robust metabolism. And, you know, during pregnancy, many women can have complaints with things like digestion, you know, having heartburn, having nausea, having, you know, all of these things, metabolism slowing down, then not having enough energy. Well, hydration is really important and all of those things functioning properly. And you also need adequate water to produce reproductive fluids, which will increase as your baby continues to grow. Your baby is basically just floating in a little pool of amniotic fluid in your womb. So if you're dehydrated, those amniotic fluid levels are going to drop, and you don't want that because not only does that amniotic fluid, you know, it's a medium for which things are transmitted to the baby as far as nutrients, some nutrients. A lot of the nutrients are going through the umbilical cord, but there are some things being diffused through, like, the blood barrier between mother and baby, you know, certain minerals, certain proteins and things are going through the amniotic fluid. Also, that's a buffer. If you don't have adequate amounts of amniotic fluid, it'll make it to where that buffer is not as good between the baby and the outside world. So, you know, things maybe bumping your belly, the baby needing room to stretch and grow. And, you know, if it's not full, if the womb isn't full with that amniotic fluid, it's going to kind of shrink around the baby. It's going to be uncomfortable. And it may not look like your belly is like a shrunken, you know, like a ball that's deflated, but inside, you know, it's creating that kind of condition that the baby can feel more than you can feel. So just make sure that you're hydrated because you're basically you're like the ocean. You're creating life. You know, there's this life that's growing in you and it needs water. You know, make sure that you are hydrated. If you are eating an abundance of fresh fruits and vegetables, you're already getting a lot of water from the food that you're eating too. So eating watery foods is also important during this time. So things like watermelon, any kind of melon, grapes, berries, coconut water, lettuce, cabbage, cucumbers, citrus fruits, apple, grapes, all these things are nice, watery, juicy fruits and vegetables that you can eat that will contribute to the hydration, because not only are they watery, but they also have minerals and electrolytes that keep the water, or that help the water to go into tissues the way it needs to, and it doesn't create swelling, it doesn't create bloating, it doesn't create, you know, all of those things that people associate with too much water in the body. Now, for drinking water, like water to actually drink, choose spring water over distilled water or reverse osmosis water, because these, the latter two, have been stripped of their natural minerals and will now, you know, because it's a nutrient-less thing or substance that's being put in the body, remember, the body's going to try to compensate for that, leaching its own minerals, or the water's going to try to compensate for that by leaching from the body its minerals. So spring water is best. You can infuse your water with vegetables or fruits like citrus. You can put cucumbers in the water to make it alkaline and to make it more mineral enhanced. Also, juicing the fruits or the vegetables for their fresh juices is another way for you to get an alkalinizing, hydrating liquid into your diet. So all of these are wonderful ways to hydrate yourself. So just be conscious of that. Let's see. Oh, and that's pretty much it. That's all that I have for you today. You know, so take heed of all of these things if you are currently pregnant, thinking about getting pregnant, if you know somebody that's pregnant, so you can have the most abundant, the most healthful pregnancy that you can, that your baby will come out and it'll be like a little glowing ball. Like, that baby's going to levitate out of your womb if you eat this way. So take all that in. If you miss anything, go back to the archive, you know, and then, like I said, you can always contact me for any other questions or concerns. My email address is askdradiro, A, S as in safflower, K, D as in diamond, R, A, D as in diamond, I-R-O, askdradiro@gmail.com. You can also go to my website, which is askdradiro.weebly.com, and stay tuned, too, because I'm going to be having a new wonderful website that's going to be coming up. It's going to have way more stuff, way more services, way more things for the people to take advantage of for your health. So I will keep you all posted about that
awesome.
As well. But in the meantime, also like the Food for Medicine Facebook page, and then also like my practice page, which is Nkingu Health, N as in nighttime, apostrophe, K-I-N as in nighttime, G-U Health. So Nkingu Health on Facebook, like my page, contact me, you know, any questions, concerns, I'm here to serve you guys. So I hope that you found everything I mentioned informative today, for sure.
Wow. You know, I always walk away from this show feeling, like, empowered.
Wonderful.
So I know those who are listening and feel the same, and I just want to thank you for all this wonderful information that you presented today. And I just want to thank the listeners for listening, and I hope you got, you know, that awesome information and took that, pass it along. If you're not pregnant or looking to get pregnant, you can pass it along to someone who is. I'm pretty sure they'll appreciate it. Tomorrow on Dynasty Network, you don't want to miss Christy, Life After Christianity. That's 4 p.m. Mountain. We do have a host of other shows in archive, so if you want to check out the past shows that we have done, please do so. And I just want to say ashe for another year of Food for Medicine. This marks our May, which is going to be in a few days, marks our second year of doing Food for Medicine. So we got a host of shows that you guys can go and check out. And sis, I just want to say thanks again. Enjoy your weekend. Everybody, the family that's listening, you guys do the same. And we will see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Dynasty Radio 1380.